everyone, and welcome to our next edition of the To Quote Buffy podcast. I am your host, Amanda.
And I am Jeremiah.
And today we're going to be talking about Never Kill a Boy on the First Date, which first aired March 31st in 1997. So we're going to jump right into the summary. I'll try to keep it quick so we can talk about the episode because I really like this one. So in this episode, we find Buffy and she's pining over shy, sensitive Owen Thurman. And Buffy is desperate to impress him with a false interest in Emily Dickinson, who is his favorite poet. And at lunch, Cordelia is also fighting for his affection. And Buffy kind of has to fend her off to sit at his lunch table. And he ends up asking Buffy on a date to the Bronze. But much to her dismay, Giles has discovered a prophecy about the Anointed One who is supposed to rise that night. She protests, but she goes and she spends the evening at the graveyard with Giles. They wait and they wait, and nothing ever happens. So Giles calls it quits, and Buffy rushes to the Bronze to find Owen and Cordelia dancing, and crushed, she leaves. Elsewhere that same evening, a bus that's carrying a man spouting prophecies about God's judgment to the other passengers. There's four other people on the bus, including the driver, and it crashes when a vampire steps out in front of it, and the other vampires attack the passengers, killing them all. The next morning, Owen asks Buffy on another date, and she tells him that they didn't have any clocks in her house, so he gives her a pocket watch to help her keep time. And tells her that he'll pick her up at 7. Xander's jealous that she's going to go out with Owen again. And that evening, Giles comes to Buffy's house and shows her a newspaper that cites 5 people died in the crash. Among them was a man named Andrew Borba. So Buffy tells him that she has another date, and Giles decides he's going to go to the funeral home to investigate. And he ends up getting trapped inside the funeral home when the vampires come to get the Anointed One. So Xander and Willow follow him and head to the Bronze to get Buffy because now Giles is trapped inside the funeral home and can't get out. So at the Bronze, Buffy and Owen are dancing when Cordelia tries to interrupt, and she stalks off when she's not successful. Not long after that, Angel comes into the Bronze and finds Buffy on a date, and he's clearly hurt that she's with somebody else. And soon after that, Xander and Willow come into the Bronze, and they try to be a couple. They pretend to be a couple while trying to convey to Buffy that Giles has been trapped in the funeral home and that vampires are after him. So she leaves Owen at the Bronze, but she kisses him before she leaves and she heads to the funeral home. So she gets there, she finds Giles has been hiding in the funeral home and the vampires have left. And much to her surprise, Owen has followed her to the funeral home. So Borba rises as a vampire and knocks Owen unconscious, and Buffy's afraid that he's been killed. So in retaliation, she shoves Borba into the incinerator, killing him. The next day at school, Owen wants to know when he can see her again because he has this newfound thrill-seeking side of him from almost being killed, which makes Buffy realize that she's not going to be able to have a relationship with him because it could get him killed, and decides to break up with him. She's obviously crushed and, she's feeling brokenhearted as well. Giles tries to comfort her by telling her that he was 10 years old when he found out that he was destined to be a watcher, and that he wanted to be a fighter pilot or a grocer. And they agree that it was good that she killed the Anointed, and that it's going to really piss the Master off. But underground, the Master welcomes the Anointed One into his lair, who turns out to be the boy, Colin, that was on the bus. And that's where we leave them.
Dun dun dun! Plot twist.
Plot twist. I love this episode.
I did too. I thought this episode was pretty amazing, especially after the suck fest of the last one.
I like Owen a lot, but Buffy did the right thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him. Definitely a one episode kind of character, I think.
Yeah, we never see him again.
Never see him again. He fell in the hell mouth or something.
He He's never to be seen again. Cordelia was fabulous in this episode, as she always is.
As per her usual, she was great, except for her terrible crimped hair in this episode.
Yeah, that was not good. That's not a good look for her.
I don't understand the crimping thing. Do women
A crimper.
Do women still crimp their hair? Is that still a thing?
Lord, let's hope not. I had a crimper in the 90s, but you wouldn't catch me crimping my hair now. I'm going to say that, and somebody out there is going to be crimping their hair. So it may look fabulous on you, but for my thin hair, it does not look fabulous on me. So if you're rocking it, keep on rocking it.
They're listening right now and crimping their hair.
Crimping their hair.
Single tear down her cheek. I'm crimping my hair.
Hey, she may be able to rock it. Who knows?
Have at it.
Yeah, keep going. So one of the... I find Owen too bookish for Cordelia.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, why?
Terrible match.
When we see what she goes after later on in this show, like the kind of men that she's attracted to, like, Owen is cute, but he's cute in, like, that bookish, shy sort of way, and not sort of the thing that Cordelia typically goes out with. And I guess I can kind of see why Buffy likes him, because he is kind of broody when Angel is broody.
I did like that about this episode. Look out, Angel! New brooding puppy in Buffy's life. Yay!
I just found it really odd that Cordelia was into Owen.
Yeah, I can't imagine she would even be aware that he exists.
Yeah. Just something that bugged me about this one. Something else that bugged me about this one is, why, when Buffy dusted that vampire in the cemetery at the beginning, did his ring not go anywhere? His clothes turned to dust.
I noticed that too. It seems kind of random what goes with the vamps and what doesn't when they get dusted, because sometimes, like, the weapon, you know, kind of vanishes as well, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, so weird. Like, if it's a key part of the plot, it doesn't dust. But if it is inconsequential.
Yeah, what about last week, like, fork guy? His fork didn't stick around.
Yeah, his fork didn't stick around.
Hmm. Interesting.
I wonder if it could be because, like, that was a ring for the Order of Aurelius. Could it be that it was, like, enchanted or something? And maybe that's why it didn't?
Or they could have just needed a plot device. And
that could be, too.
I guess my general rule of thumb that I try to go with is, if they're holding on to it, as far as weapons go, anyway, if they're holding on to the weapon, like, you know, when Buffy stakes them with Mr. Pointy repeatedly, she keeps the stake. But if she would maybe let it go, or if she throws it, would it vanish?
Yeah, because if she's done that.
If she takes her hand off, I don't know. Seems kind of random.
Yeah, that does seem random. So that's something else that just sort of, I went, yeah, why is that ring still there?
They needed a clue.
Yeah, I guess so.
What else was kind of... There wasn't a lot that I disliked about this episode. This is actually a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I really like this one. I have way more positives than I do negatives. So those were the two that sort of... I was sort of like, meh, was Cordelia being into Owen and then that ring. But I like that we've learned a little bit more about Giles, and just like a tidbit. Yeah. About, you know, he was 10 when he found out he was supposed to be a watcher. And I find it funny that he wanted to be a grocer.
I see grocer more. I guess one thing that was weird, which I won't spoil the quote because it's my favorite quote from this episode, but it involves Buffy's pager or her beeper.
Yep.
It makes its one and only appearance. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know. It never shows up again.
You think that would be good for her to have?
Yeah, like in an emergency. And she doesn't get like a cell phone until season 7.
Yeah, way after everyone else had a cell phone.
It was really weird. But yeah, I noticed that too. It's like we see the pager one time and then she never. But you're absolutely right. It would be a good, like, why doesn't she carry that with her all the time?
Maybe the council could spring for that monthly pager fee.
Unless it would be, I guess you could put pagers on vibrate, right? I was going to say, unless she didn't want to be like in, like trying to be stealthy and have it go off.
I'm just picturing her hiding and getting ready to attack and her,
and then her,
you know, that's actually something that I could see in an episode.
Me too.
She's like, oh, stupid pager. When she's hiding, like, above a, she's in, like, a warehouse getting ready, you know, to attack a whole gang of vampires and it goes off.
Oh, yeah. What I mean with vampires, they might even be able to hear, like, the vibration.
Possibly.
If it goes off.
All I know is it was a missed opportunity.
It was.
I think we should redo the show and, or they should redo the show and just add the stuff that we want in there.
Yeah, that we should, that we want. I also thought it was back to Giles for a quick second, but knowing that his father and his grandmother were also watchers, and because I thought it was interesting that his grandmother was a watcher, so meaning that both men and women can be watchers, but only women are slayers.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of I guess we do, you know, later on a bit, but still, not a detailed kind of explanation of the whole Slayer and Watcher roles, I guess. I mean, I know what the roles are, but, you know, as far as how they're chosen and all that good stuff, and they don't really talk about that a lot.
No. One contradiction, though, is when Giles tells Buffy that there's not an instruction book on how to be a Slayer. He totally contradicts himself in season two. I won't spoil anything for you guys right now, but just know that, and I'll bring this point back up again when we get to that episode in season two, but he tells her there is not an instruction book, but that is a lie.
He's a liar.
Well, we've seen him lie before, telling people that he'd never done magic before.
That's true. Shady Giles.
Super shady. And his face, when Owen walks into the library to use it as for its intended purpose.
Yeah, he's so annoyed, like, oh.
Poor Owen just wants to check out a book.
It seems to do that a couple of times. I don't know if it's Giles, but yeah, maybe
it's Jonathan
one of,
that comes in.
Yeah. It's like, oh. These people.
We'll revisit that again, but when the other people come into the library, they all just kind of look at each other. They're not sure what to do, so they just leave the library.
Awkward.
Yeah, super awkward.
It's time for a Buffy bite?
Yeah.
Okay, what about Owen? His name in the original shooting script was, this is really weird, his name was Chambers.
Oh, interesting.
Chambers. It's kind of, maybe it was his last name and they were just gonna, you know, go with that.
Yeah, interesting.
Weird. Another Buffy bite for you. This episode, it was part of the first Buffy VHS flashback box set released. It was bundled with The Witch. This was the first one, first box set. It was released on September 15th, 1998.
I have these still.
Do you have that box set?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Well,
I missed that one.
Was it? No, maybe not. Maybe I have the one that was like one cover was green, one was pink, and one was blue.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Really?
I don't think so.
Interesting. Well, maybe we should cover that on a collectible.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but yeah, it came. I remember when it came out, one of the covers was green, one of them was pink, and one of them was blue.
I really need to dig up some of my old Buffy stuff and see what I have.
Yeah.
I may have it. You never know. I don't think I have it, but
I do still have mine. I think they're out in my garage, actually. I should probably get them out and put them on display for everyone to see.
That's when you know you have a problem. You're like, I really want this. Oh, wait, I already have it.
know.
Maybe. We're addicted.
We are addicted. And I will tell you, there was one point right before the DVDs came out, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before or not, but they would replay Buffy episodes on FX. And so I would record the episodes while I was at work. And when I got home, while I was doing my homework, I had two VCRs hooked up together. So I would watch Buffy on one, pause at the commercial, pause the recording at the commercial, and then start recording again as soon as Buffy picked up. So basically what I was doing was cutting the commercials out of the VHS tape so that I could watch them uninterrupted.
Oh, that's amazing.
My mom still has these tapes.
Yeah, I have a box of tapes somewhere in storage, probably. Piles and piles of tapes.
Yeah.
Oh, VHS. What a nightmare.
And then season one came out on DVD literally like a month or two after I started doing that. All that time I spent.
All that time, all those tapes.
Ridiculous. That's how dedicated I was, though, to watch them uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And now you can watch movies on your phone. That's how far we've come with technology.
We're old.
We are super old. Another thing was, this is the first time Cordelia sees Angel.
Salty goodness.
Yes. And that's pretty important because she will later go to his show. So I won't spoil anything else from there, but she does make her way to Angel's spinoff later on.
Oh, Cordelia. I love her.
The other thing is Owen looks super uncomfortable when he's dancing with anybody. It doesn't matter if he was dancing with Cordelia or if he was dancing with Buffy. He just looked like he was uncomfortable the entire time.
Owen just looks uncomfortable in general. Like, the whole episode, he just kind of looks like his eyes hurt at times. And
what?
Is it just me?
That his eyes hurt? Like, hurt to be open?
Yeah, like, he's kind of, like, squinty and, like, I don't, maybe it's, the weird hipster thing, but I don't know.
He was a hipster before hipsters were cool.
Do we have another Buffy bite? Oh, yeah. This one I was actually super excited about because I'm a nerd, people. This episode actually has the longest title out of all the Buffy episodes at 8 words. We have a winner.
Awesome. I've got one. So the original plan was to use the Anointed as the big bad for season 2. But it wasn't feasible because the actor that played Colin, his name was Andrew, was growing too quickly. So they had to cut him out early in season 2.
The joys of working with children. Yet another reason to dislike children, everyone.
Oh, what else?
Oh, what about the music? I love the music in this episode. I thought it was a really good, really good episode all around. But this one definitely has some of, I think, the best music in the Bronze.
I agree.
From this season. We have Velvet Chain and Kim Ritchie, I believe mm-hmm. is her name. Let the Sun Fall Down plays towards the end. I really like that song.
Yeah, this one does have good music. I like Velvet Chain a lot.
And we will see them, what, several times, right?
Yeah. Let's see what else do we have. Oh, this is the first time Buffy kisses a boy.
Ooh,
on the show.
I'm glad it wasn't Angel.
This is also the first time that Giles visits Buffy's house.
Which is
the first of many times.
Yeah, first of many times. But yeah, how awkward. I always found that awkward, like, before, Buffy's mom was aware of, you know, what was going on, basically, that she's yeah. just okay with the librarian coming over to visit her daughter. That's so creepy.
It is creepy.
She's like, oh, okay. He's dedicated. Maybe he's bringing her a book.
He's coming to her house to collect overdue library fees. Yeah.
Instead of the, like, what is this, I would say old man, older, creepy older man doing visiting my teenage daughter.
That would never fly in this day and age.
Absolutely not.
Were there any alternate titles for this one? Did you find any?
We do have some kind of weird and random alternate titles. The alternate title for the U.S. Was The Anointed, which makes sense. We have the French title, A Missed First Date. Okay, I could see that. The Finnish title, Dating a Vampire.
Which, okay.
Yeah. Kind of weird. Doesn't really fit, but sure, we'll throw vampire and dating in there. And the German, which is like the oddest title to me, Without Buffy, You Live Longer.
I like that one.
Poor Buffy.
Without Buffy, You Live Longer.
Without Buffy. I mean, it's accurate.
It is.
I guess. But yeah.
Interesting.
Totally weird.
Hmm.
Oh, we have another Buffy bite. We're just full of Buffy bites this episode. The shooting script stated that Borba, you know, creepy religious guy, he got his tattoos in prison. Kind of random, but interesting. And he's wanted for a double homicide, which means if he's guilty of that, which not to judge, but I'm sure he probably is. If he is guilty, he's one of the few vampires that has actually killed more people as a human than a vampire.
Interesting.
Yeah. Totally struck out as a vampire, but
yeah, he didn't get anything done as a vampire.
As a human, he did okay as far as double homicides and murdering innocent people go.
We're actually going to have him as the monster of the week this week.
He is pretty monstrous. The scene on the bus totally creeps me out. Because I have this weird thing about, I guess a lot of stuff creeps me out because I'm neurotic like that. But the whole killing for Jesus thing is always super, super scary to me. Like, if anyone says they're going to murder you because Jesus wants them to, whoo, not for me.
You don't like it when they spout prophecy off.
No. Totally freaks me out.
Leave your Jesus at home.
leave your Jesus at home before you kill me, please. Thank you.
Oh. Yeah,
I draw the line there. Kill me otherwise.
Weird one. And then he gets up and he's like singing that pork and bean song.
I just choked on my coffee.
You know what I'm talking about though, right? Pork and beans.
Oh, man. A little crazy, that one.
Yeah, he was. And you know, I thought that was for the longest time until I looked it up a few years ago, thought that was Adam Baldwin, who plays Jane on Firefly.
He does look pretty similar.
Yeah, he looks very similar, but it's not him.
Oh, totally random, but I was excited when I found out because, you know, I'm strange like that. The actor who played Borba, Jeff Mead, he also played a character called Kowalski in Leprechaun in Space, which, I know, first hearing the title, you may be skeptical. But no, everyone should watch that movie. It's actually atrocious, but it's so atrocious that you need to watch it.
I've never seen any of the Leprechaun movies.
Oh, the first one is really, really good. Jennifer Aniston is in it before.
Really?
Yes, and you get to see her original nose, which I don't know if people remember, but she is no stranger to a plastic surgeon. She looks completely different.
Improved. She ever nose done before she went to Friends?
I don't remember. I think her nose was, I was going to say, I think her nose was jacked up, but I guess that's kind of rude. I think her nose was distinguished. Is that a good word?
Yeah, that's a good word.
She had a distinguished profile at the beginning of Friends, I think.
Hmm. I didn't know she had a nose job. That's very interesting to me.
Another reason to watch the first Leprechaun movie.
I'll put that on my list of things to watch.
Jennifer Aniston's original nose.
Maybe I'll see if they have it when I take... I rented a video today. A video. Jeez. Let's 1990s here. Rented a Blu-ray today.
Did you go to Blockbuster to rent the video?
I did not go to Blockbuster. I went to Family Video.
Ooh.
Getting fancy. That's the only video store that's left.
We have one of those here.
A Family Video?
Yep, a Family Video.
We went.
Is Blockbuster still around?
No, they went out of business.
Probably like 10 years ago.
I think the last one that I remember seeing closed when I lived in Chicago about probably 5 or 6 years ago, and they were having a big sale on Blu-rays. So Zach, my husband, went in and bought like District 9. He bought Man on Fire and bought a couple of other ones for super cheap. It's like my whole DVD collection came from pawn shops, like people pawning their movies.
Pawn shop and Blockbuster.
So maybe I'll see if they have Leprechaun when I take Jackie back.
You'll fall in love.
I don't like scary movies that much. I like Scream.
Scary though, because you have. Well, it stars a leprechaun, is the villain. So, I mean, it's just super goofy and it's
does
just
he kill
ridiculous.
People?
He does kill people and sometimes in gruesome ways, okay. But he does it, but it's fun while he does it.
I'm going to take your word for that. I will see if they have it though. I'll see if they have it and I'll watch it. I just I'm not real into scary stuff.
Oh, and Warwick Davis, who I absolutely love, he plays the leprechaun. So there's
really?
Another reason to watch it. Yep.
Is he Willow?
Yep, he's Willow. And Professor Flitwick.
Oh, yeah.
And a goblin in Harry Potter 2, but I don't remember what the goblin's name was.
Interesting.
But I digress, I guess. Anyway, back to Buffy.
We didn't go off
on tangents. Sorry.
Yeah, we didn't talk about how many people died this week.
Oh yeah, what's our count up to?
So we're at 10 humans. There were 10, or there were 5 people on the bus.
Ooh, bad week for people in Sunnydale.
Yeah, so 5 people on the bus, and then one vampire was killed in the cemetery at the beginning. He was dusted by Buffy, and then Borba was also killed by Buffy by being thrown into the incinerator in the funeral home. So we're at 9 vampires and demons and 10 humans. So the humans are winning.
Come on, Buffy. Get to work.
Yeah, if you look at these numbers, she's not really... she's not really keeping the death rate in Sunnydale that low.
She tries. What else did we have? Oh, what about errors from this? There were a lot of errors or kind of like weird goofs in this episode that I found. One of which was when Buffy is in the bronze with standing next to Owen, she grows magically taller and shorter. Every time the camera cuts away, they change her height considerably. It's kind of comical. Yeah, when you watch it and just focus strictly on like Buffy's head.
Yeah.
The top of her head, sometimes it reaches Owen's, other times it's like down to his mouth. I mean, it's really weird. I just picture Sarah Michelle Gellar standing on like a box during that scene, and sometimes she gets tired standing on the box, so she stands down, or she steps down, and then they just keep filming, and yeah, it jumps back and forth every single time.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to keep an eye out for that when I watch it next time.
What other errors? Oh, I don't know if it's really an error so much. The layout of Buffy's house, it's a little different in this episode. Maybe 4 or 5 episodes this season, the layout changes slightly. Reason being, they filmed on location for part of the season, and other times they actually built the house on like a sound stage, the interior anyway. So it was kind of set after this season, I believe. Yeah. But there's no entrance to the dining room, which is usually, you know, right by the front door. Mm-hmm. I think to the right of the front door. There's no entrance there in this episode.
Okay. I'll have to look for that too, because I totally missed it.
Interesting. What else was there? Oh, Borba's reflection when they're in the funeral home, when he rises from the dead, you can actually see his reflection in the glass cabinet doors behind him.
I did. Yep. I remember seeing that.
Which we all know, vampires don't have reflections, people.
Yeah. So one of the things, not really a glitch, or it was just something that was, I thought was weird, but why, after the vampires killed everybody on the bus, didn't they just take the anointed one with them? Why did they let him go to the funeral home?
Good question.
Right? I mean,
plot device, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, she would have gone to the funeral home anyway, right?
Yeah. The vampires that, like, attacked the people on the bus, though, were kind of, I mean, I guess they were going with the look of the original vampires, but, you know, it was more demonic. But those vampires, there's especially one that's like combo vampire / zombie looking. Like, the, clearly deceased.
Yeah.
Did not have Angel's boyish good looks.
No way. Yeah, so that was just weird to me, is why didn't they just take him with them instead of letting him go to the funeral home? And then the other thing is, Giles was so certain that that was the cemetery that things were going to happen in, but Sunnydale has multiple cemeteries. Like, how is he that certain?
Yeah, a lot of cemeteries.
Yeah. So just not really glitches, but things that don't really make sense
when you think about it. That's going to bug me now whenever I watch the episode.
Which one?
Both of them.
I'm interested to rewatch it and see the layout thing and then Buffy exchanging heights.
Yeah, it's totally weird. Oh, the other thing that stood out to me is at the end of the episode, Buffy is basically dumping Owen. And in the background, they're outside the school, like in the courtyard or whatever you call it. There is a staircase behind them, and there is this woman. She's in like a red black flannel shirt, and she has a red, I can't tell if it's just a purse or a bag. But you see this woman over and over again. She goes up the stairs, and then the camera cuts away and they go back or kind of shift the angle that Buffy and Owen are talking. And you see the woman again. She goes up the stairs again and again. And it's the same woman. Sometimes she has the red bag. Sometimes she does not. But yeah, this poor actress, they sent her up that stairway.
Wow.
Yeah, you see her at least 6 times.
Okay, I have to watch this again because I didn't notice that either.
Yeah, I was watching it and I kind of tuned out what Buffy was saying, like, meow, 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 meow. And I'm just focused on this woman, like, what is going on? I must know more about this woman.
Oh my God. That's all she does is go up the stairs. She's still going up those stairs to this
still
day.
Going up the charred, destroyed stairs.
Ay, ay, ay. It's so funny when you notice stuff like that.
We're stuck in a time loop in Sunnydale.
And if you visit the school today, there she is, going up and up the stairs. She never comes down, always up.
Yeah, she never comes down, just going up.
Oh. All right, so do you want to tell people how they can get in touch with us?
Yes, you can contact us at, well, you can contact me, jb2quotebuffypodcast@gmail.com. You can contact the general show email, 2quotebuffypodcast@gmail.com. Amanda's email address, ac2quotebuffypodcast@gmail.com. What else is there? Oh,
go ahead.
The website, 2quotebuffy.com, and the podcast. You can check us out on iTunes and Pocket Casts. It is 2quotebuffypodcast. Everyone, please subscribe and review.
Yep, you can also find us on Twitter at 2quotebuffy and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/2quotebuffypodcast.
We're everywhere.
We are. Look behind you. There we are. No, I'm just kidding. So we're actually going to have, we're going to be releasing a Scooby snack, in the next couple of weeks as well. And we're going to talk about, all the fun stuff that we went and got at Box Lunch over this past weekend. So we actually both went to different Box Lunch locations and we bought different things, but I will tell you, I went crazy in that store. So
she went crazy. I have the texts and pictures to prove it.
I did. I went crazy. I went two different times. I went to one in one mall, and then I went to another one in another mall and left with things both times. So
she's dedicated.
I am dedicated. So I will tell you about all the fun stuff that I bought, and JB is going to tell you about all the fun stuff that he bought and things that we think that you should go buy. So that's exciting.
Well, yeah, we'll help you spend your money.
Yes, we will. I will tell you, I got the Mad Libs. So we're going to be doing
I'm Mad Libs. To that. That'll be really fun.
Yeah, that will be fun. So next week, we will still have the regular episode, but we, like I said, we're going to be releasing that Scooby snack. So the next episode is going to be the pack. So make sure to tune in for that one. And don't forget to look for new episodes on Tuesdays. So we will leave you with our favorite quotes now, and then we'll get into the quote of the week. So do you want to do yours first?
Yes, my favorite quote is an awesome quote. I love this one. From Buffy when she's slaying a vampire.
All right, here we go.
We have been properly introduced. I'm Buffy, and you're history.
I like this one because she's very dominant here. Like, she's so confident.
Yeah, and it's just a fun quote. It kind of, you know, sums up the show. It's, you know, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
So my favorite quote is from Giles this week. So here we go.
Well, I'll just jump in my time machine, go back to the 12th century, and ask the vampires to postpone their ancient prophecy for a few days while you take in dinner and a show.
I love Giles' sarcasm in this one. This episode, he was a witty guy.
He was on point.
Yeah, he was on point.
And should we do the quote of the week?
Yeah, so here is our quote of the week, and we will see you guys again next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
If the apocalypse comes, beat me.
Grr, arg.